Today, we've had a national tragedy.
An indescribable scene of death and destruction.
And we're told that they were zealots fueled by religious fervor. And if you live to be 1,000 years old, will that make any sense to you? Will that make any goddamn sense?
Once I thought that fighting was for heroes, for someone who's much more brave than me. Once I thought there's nothing I can do to make a difference, how can one man among millions succeed?
United 93, understand, for the bomb on board, go ahead. United 93, do you still hear Cleveland?
Once I saw one man become a hero, he didn't let his fears stand in the way. A hero is someone who has the courage to make a difference, and we all can make a difference if we just stand up and say, let's roll, let's roll, let's pledge allegiance to our flag. We will not falter, will not fail. Let's roll, come on, let's roll, let's roll, let's show these cowards what we're made of. Hand in hand, we'll stand and say, let's roll, come on, let's roll.
Oh my God,
we got another tower
collapse.
The second tower.
What is going on?
Once I saw the terror of a nation, a broken city of bodies and debris. Once I saw a monster with a plan to make a difference, but the plan he had was only in his dream.
The hour is coming
sure
to America.
Never,
and you
ever
will make us proud.
Again, can create this mayhem.
When I saw one nation stand united,
terrorism against our nation will not stand.
Fighting for our love and liberty,
we will rally the world.
For the state of the union is strong, and it's us that makes the difference. Every man, woman, child has the power in their hearts to lift up their voices and say, let's roll.
Hour in America's history, and yet I think it can be its finest hour.
Come on, let's roll, let's roll, let's show these cowards what we're made of. Hand in hand, we'll stand and say, let's roll, come on, let's roll.
And good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy. And thank you for joining me for my commemoration of 9/11, which happened 12 years ago today. I'm not really going to beat around the bush about how I feel about those events. I think anybody who listens to my program pretty much knows where I stand on the issues of Islam and terrorism, kinetic violent jihad, the Shaheeds, what they're capable of doing, what they continue to do today. I'm not going to tell you that I have any forgiveness in my heart for what those 19 subhumans did that day, that Tuesday morning. I'm not going to tell you that I try to understand or I try to come up with some sort of logic as to why this event took place. I'm not going to do that to you. I'm not going to insult your intelligence. We know why it happened. Because it was an act, a pure, unadulterated hatred for the West and the United States in particular. Nineteen subhumans hijacked four airliners. They threw their lives into their jihad with a determination to destroy as many other lives as possible. I 12 years later, and I'm still just as confused and flabbergasted and confounded by how dark the human soul can be. How there are those amongst us who walk around where their souls, it is always 3 o'clock in the morning. I woke up that morning. I worked for a company back then where we were open 6 days a week. So I would get like a weekday off. I might work a Saturday and then maybe get a Thursday off, or I might work get a Friday and a Saturday off. It was just that sort of business, right? Well, that particular week, I had the Tuesday off. And I got up as usual. I came downstairs, got the tea going, had my radio on, had my house coat on. I was listening to, you know, talk radio, as usual. And they kept talking about this plane that had flown into some building. And they just would not shut up about it. It's a plane, probably some sort of accident. Then they started bringing in coverage from the United States on my little Canadian radio station. They started streaming stuff. So I thought, okay, I'm going to turn on the TV and see what on earth is going on out there. And so I turned on my TV and I went to my usual news channel, and all I could see was some building, and I had a lot of smoke, and people were talking. I still thought, oh, my goodness, we have ourselves one terrible accident. Some small commuter plane had hit a building. I had no idea what the World Trade Centers were. I had no idea about the complex. So I was watching, and then another plane hit, another building. And now I'm thinking, what is this? What's going on? Little did I realize that my life would change forever that day. Little did I realize that we were in a war. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I did not know anything about Islam on September 11th, 2001. I wouldn't know a Muslim if he tapped me on the back. I had no idea about the significance of the World Trade Centers. I didn't pay attention in 1993 when the World Trade Center was struck the first time by Al-Qaeda. like you, it took 9/11 to wake me up. And like a lot of us, it took that devastation to make us realize that there was something very seriously wrong out there. I feel guilt sometimes. I feel guilty because I'm old enough to know better. I should have been old enough back then to know better. But back then, our devices were limited. There was no Facebook. There was no Blog Talk Radio. There was no such thing as blogging, in fact. Pretty much. But I still feel like 9/11 crept up behind me and hit me over the back of the head with a 2x4. And I have been walking around with that wound ever since. That morning, so I'm watching my television and I'm not moving. My telephone rings at 12:30. It's my husband calling me from work, and he says, "Do you have the TV on?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." And I said, "How bad is this?" And he said, "It's pretty bad." By then, both the towers had fallen. By then, I was in tears. I had other people calling me, talk to my sister. She was at her television set as well. She was crying. 9/11 left a scar in us. Time does not heal all wounds. If you could slip into my body right now and feel the tightening of my chest and the lump in my throat and the quaking, you would know exactly how I feel about what happened. For my regular listeners, you'll also know why I do this radio program twice a week and talk about the issues of Islam. In a way, it's my atonement for not being there, for not being able to prevent this catastrophe, which it was and continues to be. This is my way of letting people know I was there. I was there with you all. I will continue to be there and fight the scourge that has reached the shores in the West. 9/11. Always hearing about the motives, right? Yeah. Well, Osama bin Laden had a real piss off for the United States. He decided that it was time for another holy war. His fatwa that he signed in 1998. He wrote a letter to America in 2002 after the attacks. Him and Al-Sahari. Running around in the foothills of Afghanistan. Making videos. Writing letters. Mocking us. And the footage of those in the Middle East dancing in the streets, passing out candies. That's how much they hate us. That's how much they are bent on destroying us. They won't get away with it, though. They can't. You know why? Because we are a resilient people. We're a strong people. Try as they might to break us, they never will. However, we have a lot of dimitude in our government. Never in my lifetime have I ever witnessed so many politicians engaged in the dimitude. I think I knew that we were going to have serious problems when George W. Bush came out that day on 9/11. God bless you, George W. Bush. But when you said Islam had been hijacked, and Islam is a religion of peace, I had a feeling that this would not be the end. And it hasn't been the end. In fact, the scourge has grown increasingly bold. They are taking over parts of Europe. They want to take over parts of the United States and Canada and Australia and New Zealand with their Sharia courts and their mega mosques. In their madrasas, in their organizations. They infiltrate the universities, the institutions your children attend. You see, 9/11 should have been the one to stop it once and for all. But what did our collective governments do? They engaged in appeasement. They still appease this cult. Islam is not a religion. Islam is a political ideology. Its whole ideology centers around caliphate, domination globally. We had a chance a long time ago to make revisions in terms of everything from immigration to social policy. When the explanatory memorandum was unveiled as written by the Muslim Brotherhood in 1928. We didn't take that chance. We just kept going and kept going and kept going and hoping everything would turn out for the best, but it did not. We ended up with 3,000 dead. We ended up turning on our television sets and watching a horror show play out before our very eyes. For our troubles to be politically correct and engage in appeasement. That's what we got in return. I have a few things here I want to share with you. I want to talk, though, to you about one thing in particular is that, you know, as a Canadian, I'm up here in Canada watching this. I'm up here. You know, America, it's over there somewhere, okay? America, always been my best friend, always been my cousin. But you guys, you know, America, you guys were kind of over there, and I'm puttering up here in Canada. Don't bother me. I won't bother you. Because we're great friends. It's kind of like, you know, you're my neighbor, and look over the fence and say, how you doing, neighbor? How you doing today? And that's Canada and the United States. We're great friends. But I don't bother you. You don't bother me. We get on with our lives. We share things from our gardens. We might even sit around on the patio on a Friday night and have a drink together. But for the most part, that's it. See you later. But when 9/11 happened, that all changed. That neighbor of mine became my best friend. The United States lives in me, in my heart. Because of the resilience of the American people, of the fortitude. America does not take this lying down, the American people. So I started getting more interested in my American cousins. I was actually, when 9/11 happened, I did not even have the internet. Years later, I got the internet. And then my friend told me about Facebook. And I joined Facebook. And I made some friends. And then I decided to start exploring 9/11. On the internet. And I was coming to some sites. One in particular was Bare Naked Islam. That's Bonnie's blog. I was looking at some of the stuff that she was posting. So I started educating myself on Islam. But then something else happened. There was this thing out there called Blog Talk? What is this? Blog Talk Radio? What's that? Oh, it's pretty cool. It's citizen journalism. Well, you know, what do they do there? Oh, they have radio shows, and you can talk about anything you want. And they sent me a link to it. I was looking at it. Oh, all right, that's kind of interesting. Then they sent me another link and said, listen to this show. What do? Just click on it. Click listen. Oh, okay. And so I listened to my very first episode of Blog Talk Radio. You won't believe who it was. It was Holger. Holger Awakens. So I was listening to this guy, this Holger person. I was listening to this show, and I'd never heard radio like this before. So I explored a few other shows. These are just regular people. who are speaking. These are, wow, these are Americans. I started listening to Blog Talk Radio pretty much all the time because I was listening to American people, like real Americans, real patriots. I got to know my neighbor over that fence a lot more intimately. This is why America is in my heart. I understand. I know why. I live in the best country, but the United States of America is the greatest nation. I know why. So when 9/11 happened to them, to this day, I understand. I know. We lost a lot of lives. We had 19 militants associated with Al-Qaeda who hijacked these four airliners and flew them into things. There is absolutely no regard for whom would be murdered. Two planes that hit the World Trade Center. One that hit the Pentagon. One that landed in a field in Pennsylvania. You listened to the opening of my program. You heard Let's Roll. That was Todd Beamer on Flight 93. 2,606 deaths in the World Trade Center. 246 on those airlines. 125 at the Pentagon building. Do you know 1,762 residents of New York? ?1,402 persons in the North Tower, 614 in the South. On American Airlines Flight 11 that hit the North Tower, on that airplane at 87 minus the hijackers. United Airlines Flight 175 that hit the South Tower, 60 minus the hijackers. American Airlines Flight 77 that hit the Pentagon, 59 minus the hijackers. And United Flight 93 in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, 40, minus the hijackers. We lost 300 people, or 3,000 rather, people that day. But people got sick. Like, people got really, really sick. The first responders, the lingering ailments that they suffered due to smoke inhalation and debris inhalation, sitting in their lungs, causing respiratory problems. I never knew anybody who died that day on 9/11, but I did know one person who succumbed to his injuries years and years later. And he, in fact, was a radio host right here on Blog Talk Radio. That was George of American View. On Fridays, he had George's gin joint. George was a first responder that day in New York. George died this summer due to prolonged illness brought on by 9/11. I didn't call George very often, but when he saw me in the chat room, on Fridays he would have trivia. And when he saw me, he would make the questions easier so I would win my T-shirt. Because he knew my butt was going to be kicked by Mary. George was a pretty nice guy. Had a dog. Lived a quiet life. Had a radio show. Yeah. So, terrorists, you took away my friend George, you bastards. I'm not going to forgive you for that. Yeah, I'm looking in my chat room, and I want to thank American Lady, Kath, Poppy, Toddy, Nani, who is Deb, Vito, Zook from We Built That Network. Guys, these people are in my chat room, and they're sharing back and forth. Vito knew someone. American Lady saw some things she wished she'd never had. Poppy is horrified. That is 9/11. Listening to a lot of radio here, right? And I was listening to Eric Stakelbeck, and he wrote a book, The Terrorist Next Door. And I was listening to him on an interview, and he was asked, well, you know, why is Islam what you do? And I want to thank AGG. Agador, thank you for being here. But he was asked, why? What is this with you? And he said, I do it because I love my country. I do it because there is something that has to be combated here. But I do it because of my father. Eric Stakelbeck said that his father, a stoic retired military man, that day was the only day he saw his father cry. And he said, Dad, what's going on? And his father said, the bastards attacked. Eric Stakelbeck, he didn't know what his dad really was talking about. See, Eric Stakelbeck was like me. I didn't know what this was and how bad it was. I did not understand the geopolitics. I wasn't interested. But it is what it is. It developed into what it is. I also didn't understand a lot of true politicians out there and how they are trying to educate us on what Islam is and its ramifications in the West if it continues to go unchecked. which is pretty much doing. The likes of Paul Weston in the UK. The likes of Mike Holt in Australia. The likes of Geert Wilders in the Netherlands. Geert Wilders in particular really, really gets to me because this man is, as a politician, leader of the Freedom Party, tries to ensure Islam and the tentacles do not reach to the point where we end up with these incidents happening. But I was reading Geert Wilders' book, and it's called Marked for Death. And he accounts his life since he has been vocal and on the world stage discussing the issues, and how he has to go from safe house to safe house because of the fatwa. And they're serious. They want his head on a platter. There was one excerpt I want to share with you from that book. That was when Geert Wilders' father passed away. By then, Geert Wilders was heavily secured. The government had issued 24/7 protection, which included bodyguards. He had to attend his father's funeral with bodyguards. And when he got into the car to go back to his safe house, he was in the back seat. And he started to weep, and he wept quietly. See, Geert Wilders, he could not even grieve in privacy for the loss of his dad. Theo van Gogh, murdered in the streets. For what? Exposing Islam for what it was? Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a religion of peace. I'm going to share something with you right now. They're not peaceful. They're bent on destruction. 9/11, we might have been able to avoid it. Who knows? But they do continue to hide amongst us.
If you don't know it already, they are already among us.
With groups representing every single organization that I had read about, but never suspected that they were present in the United States.
Boston, Chicago, Nashville, Atlanta, Sacramento, and 32 other cities. Many of the outposts are no more than a single individual raising money from an apartment or office. Atlanta. A Palestinian radical is on a fundraising tour detailing his dark vision of jihad.
Blood must flow. There must be widows. There must be orphans.
Of the network of radical Islamic groups operating thoroughly below the radar screen in the United States.
An Egyptian cleric calling for Islam to rule the world.
We conquer the land of infidels, and we spread Islam by calling the infidels to Allah.
Chicago, Pittsburgh, Tucson, and elsewhere, the radical preachers insist that the jihad will succeed.
Oh, brothers, after Afghanistan, nothing in the world is impossible for us anymore.
This Arab preacher is carrying his message of hate into the American heartland. But on the other side of the globe, he and a partner are also busy creating a jihad network, a network that will eventually plan and execute the deadliest act of terrorism in history.
Good morning. 64 degrees at 8 o'clock. It's Tuesday, September 11th. I'm Lee Harris. Here's what's happening. It's primary day and the polls are open.
It's been a long time coming. It's gonna come home to roost. They're gonna kill our little children. They're gonna kill us one by one. We sit here watching it all go by, hoping that it's all a dream, hoping that someone else has got a damn good scheme. No chance, baby, no chance at all. It's gotta be you, it's gotta be me. The world's getting out of control, and we can't sit here watching TV. Yeah. Walking, talking heads on a cable, they're analyzing all the way to hell. Some tell us how to make it better, and others tell us it's always been well.
I think we have a terrorist site of proportions that we cannot begin to imagine at this juncture.
Some tell us it's a nation's fault that most of the world's gone mad, and others just don't have a clue that for 20 years we've all been had.
Reports of an explosion of some sort at the World Trade Center.
It is February 1993. The attack on New York's World Trade Center kills 6 people, wounds 1,000, but fails to destroy the Twin Towers. The masterminds of this attack are all living among us. They are determined to get it right the next time.
It's been a long time coming. It's coming home to roost.
Is that the second building in the World Trade Center
going to kill us?
That is the second tower. That is the second tower.
They're trying to kill us one by one.
This footage shows the annual gathering of the Muslim Arab Youth Association.
It's the holy exit out. Yeah. Yeah.
in an auditorium filled with supporters, the speakers call for a holy war or jihad against Jews and Christians. They blame the West and Israel for oppressing Muslims around the world. The organizers are even selling children's coloring books such as this one, extolling
Martyrdom. It's coming home to roost. Don't let them get our little children. Let's kill them one by one. Yeah, let's kill them one by one.
Boston, Chicago, Nashville, Atlanta, Sacramento, and 32 other cities.
We know what you're doing. We're gonna get you. And we have the courage to stand tall. Stand tall. It's been a long time coming. Don't let it come home to roost. It's been a long time.
And just listening to that clip, and just to remind you, you're listening to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy, and this is my 9/11 tribute. Yeah, just listening to that clip, and one thing that jogged my memory about something. Yeah, they had coloring books, all right. They sure did. Well, you know what? I've got my coloring book. I got mine, too. It's called The True Face of Evil. We Shall Never Forget 9/11, Volume 2. And it was published by really big coloring books. It's meant for younger children. And Scott, you can color in things. It's fantastic. They've got pictures of the U.S. Air Force, the U.S. Army, the U.S. Marines. All sorts of nifty things in here. I have a picture of myself, actually, with it. I have a picture of myself. One day I'm going to throw it up in the show highlights there, in the slides. Maybe I'll do that next week. But there's a picture I have of me wearing my Infidel T-shirt. With my Canadian flag, says Infidel, with me holding my coloring book, The True Faces of the Evil, and I have my Bare Naked Islam beer stein in the other hand. It's on Facebook. If you're on my Facebook page, you can dig around and look for it there. It's somewhere on there, but I have it. Maybe what I'll do is, if you belong to my group on Facebook, and you can join my Facebook group, that's Infidels Are Watching. Later on today, I'm going to throw it up there, okay? So if you're on Facebook and you belong to my page, Infidels Are Watching, by all means, after the show, in fact, I'll go and do that. You guys can see me. And you get to see what I look like. And be kind, I'm not wearing makeup. All right, enough of that. But like I say, I am in Canada. And what happened that day changed my life forever. It changed yours, too. I know it did. However, I'm very proud of what Canada did that day. You see, when the United States realized that they were under attack, they shut down airspace. Incoming flights had nowhere to go. The United States were not accepting any incoming flights into any of the airports. But there were flights coming in across the Pacific and across the Atlantic with nowhere to land in North America, except in Canada. So Canada opened up her heart and her airports to welcome all these diverted flights. One place in particular was a tiny town called Gander in Newfoundland. This is it's an amazing story. I'm very grateful the United States acknowledged the efforts that Canada put in and the contribution that we offered on that terrible day. Gander, a tiny little airport, took in all these flights and all these people. And, of course, there was a no-fly zone for days on end. So what to do with these stranded travelers, right? People opened their homes. The hotels, of course, were filled. What little room there was there in tiny little Gander, Newfoundland. Hotels filled up. Community centers filled up. People opened their homes. Yeah, I got a spare room here. Come on over here. You come stay with me. Come on. You not be sleeping in your car. They didn't have cars, but you know what I mean. You not be sleeping on the street. You be staying with me. And that's what they did. They took in all these stranded passengers from all over the planet. And we tried to accommodate these people as best we could, and we did a wonderful job. We had the potluck suppers. We even had little sightseeing tours for them. Had movie night. And we were remembered for that by the United States. Leon Panetta, he was the U.S. Defense Secretary. He said, Canada is a town, as all of us know, that provided comfort and welcome to those. Gander, it's a town of nearly 10,000 people. 10,000 people. Pretty tiny little place. So you can imagine their airstrip. And we've got jetliners landing on it. We paid host to 6,700 people, passengers and crew members. Schools and meeting halls transformed into shelters. Locals were offering the use of their vehicles even. What happened in Gander was nothing short of a gift, a serendipity to our American cousins. We even filled prescriptions at no cost if some of those stranded needed them. I am forever grateful that I was able to be part of this effort to help out my American cousins, because it was a devastating day. This is why I'm doing this special. And I'm just saying hello to some people. And Colleen and Tim, thank you for joining me. Oh, and Tim. Hi, Tim. Thank you very much for joining me. My girlfriend, Shelby, she's having an event today. This is Canada remembering as well. You guys probably remember Shelby, that Shabna Kapoor. She was my guest here about a month ago, talking about the Al-Quds rally in Toronto. Yes, she is one of my dear friends. As a matter of fact, I get to see Shelby again next week. We'll be attending an event together. But today, Shelby, what she's doing is she's having an open house in her garden, and she's inviting people to come and bring a flower for each victim lost that day on 9/11. I obviously cannot be there, but I sent her a cyber rose, and she said that she would lay it for me. She would have a rose for me. She would get a rose, two roses, one for her and one for me, to lay at this. Because Canada, we lost a lot of people, too. We lost 24 Canadians that day. And you know, I'm looking at this page in front of me, and I'm looking at the faces of those lost. People like Mike, like Garnet, like Cindy, like Meredith, like Peter, like Christine. Eighteen men and six women, and their ages ranged between 29 to 70. A lot of them lived in New York and either worked or were visiting the World Trade Center that day. Two, in fact, were passengers in one of the aircrafts that hit the building. This is the humanity of 9/11 as well, in that these people had faces and they had names and they had lives and they had families and they had loves. And they did not deserve to be annihilated. They did not deserve to die in the fashion which they did. This is why I say to hell with you, Islam. People say, oh, you know what? You really shouldn't be doing this sort of thing. You're giving them exactly what they want. You do these sort of things, these shows. You know, not me. I'm talking collective we. When we do these shows or when we write our blogs, we talk about Islam, and especially talking about 9/11. Oh, don't do that. You're just feeding into their so-called presumed victory. Well, you know what? There's one thing that they did not anticipate, is that we would not forget. And we hold them clearly accountable for the atrocities. You see, there's something that we possess that fails to reach them, and that is the basic concept of humanity. See, we're not Quranimals. We don't go out to just deliberately harm children, innocent men and women. No, we don't. But you do, and we know you do. So this is why I'm doing it. This is why we all do it, because we have hearts and souls. sort of those people on 9/11 who perished, people like Alexander, people like Ralph, people like Stuart, people like Debbie, people like Chantel, people like Vladimir, Bernard, Rufino. See, these people never went out of their way to harm you. What did these people do to you? What on earth would have compelled you to murder these people? I'm looking at the photos. A lot of them, they're smiling. Alexander, an elderly gentleman, looks like he is at a wedding. Joe is smiling. He looks like he's in the backyard enjoying a summer day. Same with Cindy. She's got some trees behind her. Get Christine. She's dressed up. Looks like she's ready to go off to the theater. You see, Islam, this is what you do not understand. We are humans. We're human beings. We're compassionate. We love life. We know you love death, but we love life, and we celebrate life. We remember those we lost. People like me, my humble show. People like my friend Shobi, who is hosting an open house and inviting people into her garden to lay a rose. I want to acknowledge that Colleen Gray is gracing my chat room, and I'm eternally grateful to Colleen because she has given me permission to use her music on this program, which I will be closing out with. Colleen Gray, please visit. I put a link to Colleen's site in my show notes, and I want you to go visit Colleen's page and listen to her music. I have something here I want to share with you as well. But before I do that, I have got myself a caller. I've got two, in fact. Actually, I've got Tim here. He's been holding the longest, so I'm going to bring Tim on.
Hi there, Carol. How are you
hello.
Doing?
I'm doing quite well under the circumstances. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad at all, thanks, Cal. I was listening to what you were saying earlier, very moving. And although I have called in just to say hello to everybody, I don't want to take away from that because I think it is a time of reflection and remembrance, and not a time to air grievances, no matter how valid those grievances must be. But I wanted to call in to say that in this time of reflection and remembrance, it's important not to forget what our overall goal should be, and that should be to never forget and to understand the reasons why it happened in the first place and not just swallow the sugar-coated version that the mainstream media would give us. I really don't want to get into too much of a rant and start talking about this because, as you know, once I get started, there'll be no stopping me. But I just wanted to say to everybody who's currently listening in to your show that even though I'm not a United States citizen myself, I actually watched the story unfold on TV on the 9th, on the 11th of September 2001, and I felt very strongly that it was an event of momentous significance, and just how momentous, of course, is really only starting to become apparent. It wasn't just a one-off terrorist event. It was something that heralded a complete change in our relationship with the Muslim world that our political elites have yet to acknowledge. And I really don't want to say too much more than that, because I don't want to take away from everything that you've been saying while I've been listening to you, and with which I'm sure a lot of your listeners identify with. So I'll just say that, if I may, and leave my my rant for another time. And I wish everybody well who's listening to the show today, and I'm sure they've all got their own stories to tell. And, well, I'll leave it at that, Kel.
Tim, I want to thank you very much for calling in. And ladies and gentlemen, I just want to apprise you as to who Tim is. Tim is a prolific writer and speaker from England who speaks out about the issues on Islam. And Tim will actually be my guest on the program on the 16th. So please be here and join me as I host Tim on my program. Tim, you are also, before I let you go, can I ask you a question?
Yes, please do. Please do.
7/7 was your 9/11 in England. Did you ever expect that? That was a devastating day for the people of England.
Well, I suppose the short answer to that question is no. We never expected it. If I remember rightly, it came on the day after we'd. Let me think. I think it was the day after we'd been advised that we were going to be able to host the Olympics. So the mood in the country and in the capital was one of jubilation. And when we heard that these attacks had taken place, it was all the more shocking because it was in such contrast with the mood of the country only the day before. Although we had been advised in general terms that attacks were likely, I mean, we had been advised of such things pretty much on a monthly basis ever since 9/11 took place. We were told that attacks could happen in pretty much every major capital in the Western world, and that we were to be on our guard, whatever that meant. It's very difficult to when you're trying to go about your business in a major city in the Western world, to take notice of everything that's going on around you and determine what is suspicious and what isn't. So over time,
absolutely,
we became, I suppose, not hardened. The mood was such that, although at the back of our minds we knew that such a thing could take place, we never actually thought it would take place. So yeah, when it did take place, we were all pretty horrified by it. And when we saw the pictures on mainstream media of the, in particular the bus that was blown to pieces in London, it was highly shocking, I'm sure, for everybody who was there. But it wasn't something that you could look at and say, oh yeah, we expected that, because it wasn't. It came out of the blue and it was a complete surprise to everybody.
Absolutely. See, that's the thing that England and the United States share is two devastating events at the hands of Islamic terrorism. Canada so far has evaded anything like that, and I hope to keep it that way, and I hope that in doing these shows, Tim, in that we do that. But, Tim, I want to thank you so very much for calling in to me. I really needed to hear your voice.
Yeah, no problem at all, Kel. I'll be listening along between now and the end of the show. I'll drop the speaking connection, or you drop the speaking connection, however it works. But I will be listening along, and if anybody has a question, if I can help in any way, then I certainly will. Otherwise, I'll speak to you again on the 16th, I guess.
Absolutely. You can stay on the line, and I can just put you on hold if you like.
Well, it's entirely up to you, Kel. As I say, I don't really want to get on my hobby horse and start I mean, there's a lot of things.
Okay, you know what, then? I'll just let you carry on.
You know, but
okay.
I'll leave it at that.
Okay, Tim, thanks again.
There's things I could talk about, but I don't want to take away from, you know, what is a very special moment on this show for you and the rest of your listeners. But yeah, I'll if you'd like to put me on hold, that's absolutely fine.
Thanks, Tim. And I will do that right now. And ladies and gentlemen, that is Tim Burton. Like I say, he is a writer. He writes for a lot of publications there in England. He has a website called Freedom Loving Infidel, and you can join that. And Tim will be my guest as well. Tim was my guest last month. He's coming back for an encore on September 16th. So please join me for that. I have another caller here, 781, who has been sitting very patiently for close to 15 minutes. So I'm going to bring him on right now.
Good afternoon, Kel.
Hi, Kel.
How you doing?
Tim.
How's things?
I'm doing okay. I knew that was you.
Yeah, I was listening there a few minutes back, and you know, you were saying that some people say, well, if you talk about this, you're following into their trap. You know, we have to talk about this because we have to educate those who don't understand what Islam is really about. Like I said, you know, this Muslim march that they're having, no respect. I mean, it's that the American people, I think we're so afraid of having the finger pointed at us, of being Islamophobic, or you're a bigot, you're a religious bigot. No. It's time that America, which they did, they showed it in Colorado when they recalled two of their politicians just recently, and
yeah,
two Democrats. But this is what America has to do. America has to stand up. Fine. You don't like what I'm saying. That's fine. Then change the Constitution. If not, too bad. I have my God-given right to speak my piece in this country, as well as up in Canada and in England. It's time that Americans stop cowering in fear because somebody's going to call you a racist, bigot, a sexist, whatever. These people, that day, when that day happened, I think it was the same day or the day after, over in the Gaza Strip, they were passing out candy to the children as a celebration.
Yeah.
They were jumping up and down for joy that 3,000-plus innocent people, all they wanted to do was go to work, go home, and live life to its fullest. And, you know, and for
Go ahead. I remember that footage, and they cannot deny that that did not happen. They try to say that, no, we were celebrating something else. You got stock footage of us doing something else. We were celebrating, oh, I don't know, New Year's Eve. Oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah, right, September.
They cannot try to snowball us with that one, Jim. We know what we saw that day, and I saw the footage. It was live footage. It was not stock footage.
We saw it, but, you know, the liberal society of in this country, and it's probably as well up in Canada and England, they don't want to believe it because it's factual. Because I remember seeing one old Palestinian woman bent over with a big wooden spoon passing out candy to the little kids in their neighborhood over there. I'll never forget it because when I was driving home that day, I was working the night shift. I had on WRKO here in Boston, and Peter Blute, who was the host of the show, he was going off the deep end. I'm saying, what the hell's going on? And I flew into my driveway. I flew upstairs. I put the TV on, and I saw what was happening. I says, oh, my God. And I called up my sister-in-law, my brother down in Florida, and I says, we're under attack. And then later on, my wife had called me up because she worked in the John Hancock Tower here in Boston. She says, you got to come get me. And I said, no problem. She says, we're evacuating the building now because somebody started a rumor there's another jet heading for the John Hancock here in Boston, which thankfully proved false. But these people did it. They showed that they have no regard for human life, no matter how, because if you go to military.com and you look at these religion of peace people, these Islamist jihadist terrorists, hacking heads off, eating a body part, eating the heart of one of their victims.
Absolutely, yeah, that would be the Free Syrian Army. Yeah, that's one of the lieutenants from the Free Syrian Army doing that, yeah.
And then you tell these liberals, these leftist, liberal-minded, socialist traitors to freedom and democracy, it's there. Oh, no, it's fabricated. Now, the idiot John McCain, he's saying now that the rebels feel abandoned. Well, I'm glad they feel abandoned because look what they've done. I forget the name of the village they just overran not too long ago. Everybody in that village, just about everybody, was a Christian. Either convert or lose your head. You know,
absolutely.
I mean, people don't understand what this is about. And like I said, you keep talking about it. I'm happy that you do, because we have to reach one person at a time, and that one person can go out and talk to somebody else about it. Because, as I've said it, Islam in the Muslim world, they are the devil's army. They are the Antichrist army. And that's all I, you know, that's my belief.
Yes,
yep.
Exactly. Jim, I want to thank you so much for calling me as well, because believe me, I need to hear these voices speaking to me, because it makes me feel like I'm not alone in doing this. I am so appreciative of the support that I am receiving today in doing this. This is a very hard topic for me to do. And when you call in and Tim calls in, it reassures me that I'm on the right track, and both of you are right, is that, no, we cannot be silent. We cannot shut up about this. We have to expose Islam for what it is. And I'm just looking in my chat room, and Colleen brought up a really good point. Where are the moderates? You know what? They're complicit.
They're complicit because as I've talked with you about this, they're just sitting on the sidelines, letting the more ignorant ones do the dirty work, thinking that, hey, we're going to fly our green flag over the White House.
Yeah.
And then when that happens, they're going to come out of the woodwork, yay, and they're all full of it, just like you said, Takiya. It's permissible to lie and deceive your enemy, and that's what they do.
That's exactly what it is. And I've got another caller here, Jim. Do you want me to put you on hold? This person has been sitting patiently for 15 minutes, and that's 505. I'm going to get to him. But, Jim, I'm going to put you on hold. I want to say, if you want to come back, can you please come back?
How about Friday? I'll be back on Friday.
I have Pamela Geller as my guest on Friday.
Okay. Well, I'll still listen anyway. But no, I'm gonna have to cut out anyway, because I got some things I have to do. Today's my day off, so I've been running around like crazy. But I didn't want to miss calling in this time, you know.
Jim, are you kidding? I always love hearing from you. Always.
Well, like I said, I'll get you back, my sister. You know, and keep up the good work, Kel, and everybody
thank
out
you,
there,
Jim.
And everybody out there. Talk to one person at a time how evil this so-called religion of peace is. It's one person at a time, and we'll show them that they cannot defeat America one way or the other.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Amen
okay,
to that.
Okay, so I'll be talking to you soon then.
Okay, Jim, you've got it. Thanks so much. Oh,
okay,
thank
take
you
care,
so
everybody.
Very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, Jim. And before I do play another segment, I do want to take 505, because he has been sitting very, very patiently. And 505, thanks so very much for sitting there patiently. Welcome to the Red Sox blogger.
Hi, Cal. This is Sue from New Mexico.
Sue!
Yes. I've been
listening
the
sweetheart.
Hi. I want to thank you. It has been a beautiful, wonderful show, and this is what I needed today. But I also want to give you some good news and update. The Huffington Post reported an hour ago the Million Muslim March turned out to be about 200 people. And I understood that. And I thought the 2 million bikers are as far as the eye can see, and they are now meeting with the Benghazi rally, which is going on this afternoon. So
excellent.
The people came out and spoke, and we are going to change things. I think the turning point is now, and I just want to tell you, God bless.
Sue, you know, that is fantastic news. I was actually looking at the dailies today. I noticed that, yeah, the Million Muslim March, which they tried to change, by the way, to what, something like, the Million American March, and then they changed it to American Victims or some weirdness like that. And, yeah, the turnout was very, very low, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Very low. But boy, oh boy, looking at the footage of those bikers, like, wow, I was totally impressed, eh, Sue?
Yeah, it was just, it just makes my heart explode. And then, you know, to be going to the Benghazi rally, because, you know, Obama denied them a permit, but the Benghazi rally, the Tea Party, they had a permit. And so they have been putting out on Twitter for all the bikers to meet them in their venue. So I haven't seen any pictures of it, but from what I understand, that's what they're doing. And God bless America, Canada, and England, and we are going to take our countries back.
Absolutely. And it's going to be one voice at a time, one radio show at a time, one commenter at a time, one Twitter at a time. Just any voice to oppose this, what I call the scourge. And you know that, eh, Sue? The scourge.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
what
it is.
I can't talk much more. I lose my voice. But God bless you for this show. It has been wonderful.
Sue, thank you for all you do behind the scenes for all of these programs, for what you do. And Sue, thank you so much for calling. And please, will you call me back?
Yeah, I will someday. I hope I'm going to listen to your show Friday. And hopefully, I know I can't call in that day, but I will call in another day when my voice is back.
Okay, hon. I appreciate that so much.
Okay,
thank you, Sue, so very much. And ladies and gentlemen, that is Sue from New Mexico. Sue is living in the heart of a very, very bad situation in that she's got to put up with all these illegal immigrants swimming across the border in her area, and it is taxing her. But Sue does a lot of work behind the scenes for a lot of the radio programs right here on Blog Talk Radio. It is not a show unless you have Sue from New Mexico in your chat room or listening on her cell phone as she's wont to do. I appreciate all the calls. I feel like I'm kind of running through them. I don't know what to say except to say that I appreciate what Jim said and what Tim has said, and what Sue is saying as well, is that, yes, we have to be a voice, and we have to not be quiet. We have to remember 9/11. I'm not going to ever forget 9/11. I do not want you to forget 9/11. I'm going to take a final break. I want to play something for you, and this was sent to me by Kath, and Kath is in my chat room. And Kath, thank you very much for sending this to me. This is something that will give us comfort. This is something that will make us know that people like Mike and Garnet and David and Ken, Joe, Cindy, Aaron, Christine, Chantel, Debbie, Bernard, Alexander, Ralph, Michael, all these people are not forgotten, because there is one thing that the Muslims left out of the equation, is our deep faith in God.
You say you'll never forget where you were when you heard the news on September 11th, 2001. Neither will I. I was on the 110th floor in a smoke-filled room with a man who called his wife to say goodbye. I held his fingers steady as he dialed. I gave him the peace to say, "Honey, I'm not going to make it. But it's okay, I'm ready to go." I was with his wife when he called as she fed breakfast to their children. I held her up as she tried to understand his words. And as she realized he wasn't coming home that night, I was in the stairwell of the 23rd floor when a woman cried out to me for help. "I've been knocking on the door of your heart for 50 years. I said, "Of course, I'll show you the way home. Only believe in me now." I was at the base of the building when the priest ministered to the injured and devastated souls. I took him home to tend his flock in heaven. He heard my voice and answered. I was on all four of those planes, in every seat, with every prayer. I was with the crew as they were overtaken. I was in the very hearts of the believers there, comforting and assuring them that their faith has saved them. I was in Texas, Kansas, London. I was standing next to you when you heard the terrible news. Did you sense me? I want you to know that I saw every face. I knew every name, though not all know me. Some met me for the first time on the 86th floor. Some sought me with their last breath. Some couldn't hear me calling to them through the smoke and flames. "Come to me. This way. Take my hand." Some chose, for the final time, to ignore me. But I was there. I did not place you in the tower that day. You may not know why, but I do. However, if you were there in that explosive moment in time, would you have reached for me? September 11th, 2001 was not the end of the journey for you. Someday your journey will end, and I'll be there for you as well. Seek me now while I may be found. Then, at any moment, you know you're ready to go. I will be in the stairwell of your final moments.
Islamists never counted on that, didn't they? They thought that we were just a godless, hedonistic society in the West, didn't they? They never, ever thought for 1 second that we have faith. 9/11 didn't end lives. 9/11 did not break us. 9/11 did not make us submit to their will. No, 9/11 strengthens us every day as we live through our deep faith. See, we have something called Christianity and Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism. We have love within our religions. Our religions compel us to love our fellow man, which we do. Islam does not have that compelling factor. I don't hate Muslims. I feel sorry for them under the thumb of this political cult, this ideology of Islam, and that they feel that they must conquer by the sword. However, we are phoenixes, and we do rise above those ashes, ladies and gentlemen. I can assure you that the human spirit within our hearts, with our faith, is alive and well and unshaken. And Islam cannot take that away, ever. They threw the worst thing at us on 9/11. They threw the worst thing at England on 7/7, in Spain. They can try as they might to try to break us down, but we will not break. We will continue to discuss the issues of Islam and Sharia law and the atrocities that they are capable of. They will not keep us down. I don't mind going around playing whack-a-Muslim. One pops up and two more pop up, that's okay. I've got my hammer. I'll be right there to beat them back down. I do this because it's my responsibility. You do this because you have a sense of loyalty and duty. I said at the beginning of the program that I felt guilty for not understanding the ramifications of what Islam could wreak upon us. I feel guilty that I wasn't here 13 years ago, 14, 15 years ago, warning about the scourge. I have to stop feeling guilty, though, but I can't. Because I look at these photos of people who died that day. I know they rest easy, and they walk with Jesus, or they walk with whomever. They're reconnected somewhere. However, the images of those people in those burning buildings, they did not deserve that. Islam, we're on to you. I really didn't want to make this show all about Islam, but you know what? We can't skirt around it. We know what caused 9/11, and don't feed me political lines that Western intervention and stuff like that, because I'm not buying it. You know what? Nobody in the West ever set out to harm a hair on the head of anybody on the planet. No, none of us. We certainly did not plot to fly planes into skyscrapers and kill men, women, and children, civilians. No, Islam, you did that. This is what you're capable of. This is your evil. This is yours to own. And I was looking in the chat room, and Colleen brought up a really good point. She brought up the issue of the moderates. Where are the moderates? Why are they not speaking up? Why are they sitting there feeling like they are victims? Why are they saying it's not all of us? You see, one thing that bothers me is that these so-called moderates, they sit there and they say, it's not all Muslims. As far as I'm concerned, if you go to a mosque and you pray to Mecca 5 times a day, and in those prayers every single day, you wish for the demise of the infidel, do you know what you're quoting when you speak Arabic by rote? You know you're praying. You know you're praying for us to be defeated, right, moderates? There is no such thing as a moderate. I'm not a moderate Christian. I am a Christian, pure and simple. I follow the passages of my Bible to the letter. I follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, my Savior. I am not a moderate Christian. Therefore, you're either in or you're out. So moderate, so-called moderates, don't even try to tell me that this is not Islam, because it is. I know it is. This is Islam. Islam... I do these shows, and some days I have tears in my eyes. I have to research for these programs, and I have to read things and relate things that are not pleasant. I have to read about how 8-year-olds are married off to 40-year-old men and who die on their wedding night because they bled out, is what happened in Yemen this week. I have to read about children being told that they cannot escape their burning schoolhouse because they're not wearing their hijabs. So they are burnt alive in that school. That school is burning down, and these girls cannot escape because the modesty police are telling them you cannot come out because you're uncovered. That is Islam. I have to read stories about honor killings, like the Shafia family. Where four women were slaughtered because they wanted to become westernized. That is Islam. And this is what Islam does. This is what Islam is capable of. A lot of people say, well, you know what? They're just kind of, you know, a little on the nuts side. Well, no, they're not. These are good Muslims following their religion, so-called religion. They are good Muslims. Those 19 hijackers on the morning of September 11th, 2001, they were good Muslims because they were obeying the will of Allah and that freak show called Muhammad. I am down to my last 20 minutes, but I want to bring Tim on for one final word, and then I'm going to close this out.
Hi, Kel.
Tim. Hi. Thanks. Like I say, I am so thankful that you are here today.
Yeah, no problem. I felt, as you did, that it was a very special occasion, and your words in particular I felt were very moving, and it was nice to hear the other guy as well, Jim, I think his name was. It's somebody I hadn't spoken to before, but
yep.
I mean,
Jim is from Boston.
Passionate about
yeah.
it. Oh, right, he's from Boston,
yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, so he's got other reasons to feel passionate about this whole subject, of course. But yeah, I mean, it's obviously a very emotional time for everybody, and I was very gratified on a day as gratified as you can be on a day like this to hear that the effect of the 2 million bikers heading to Washington D.C. seems to have worked wonders in diminishing the so-called million Muslim march, which I felt was an affront. Not only to every true American, but to every lover of freedom and lover of humanity, and I'm really glad to see that the patriotic American bikers made such an impact. And I think somebody put on your chat room, I can't remember who it was now. I suppose I could scroll back and have a look, but they put in the chat room to say, wouldn't it be great if these patriotic American bikers could be persuaded to make this an annual event like Sturgis is. It's a very big event for Harley riders every year. Wouldn't it be great if we could do that every year in Washington and just make the, not just this current administration, but future governmental
Absolutely.
Administrations who come after it, make them realize how important and precious freedom is to every red-blooded American. And that would be a wonderful thing if they just couldn't get any work done that day because of the noise of Harley engines buzzing around the White House. That would just be fantastic. And I really hope that somebody pushes that idea so that we do get this as a regular event every year, just as a reminder to the Obama administration of what not to do and how to upset Americans and what Americans will do when they get upset.
Absolutely, Tim. I could not agree with that more. And I was going to bring Jim back in, but Jim had to go off. But, Tim, I want to thank you again for calling in.
Yeah, you're most welcome,
I am
Carol.
So looking forward to having you back on my program here on September 16th. I am so looking forward to it. We have a lot of ground to cover that day. So
we do, yeah, we do indeed. I mean, I was talking to a couple of people on the EDL Blog Talk Radio, and I happened to mention that once you start talking about one aspect of Islam, about 20 other things spring to mind straight away, and you could talk all night. It's very important to try and stay focused on the important things, which I think we do quite well. I mean, on a show like yours, where you're a really good host in that respect, and you do keep things well and truly focused. You know, it's a pleasure to be on your show, Kel, and I'm looking forward to being there on the 16th, same as you. I'll also try, if I may, to listen in to your show with Pamela Geller. she's obviously one of my heroines in the counter-jihad fight. I don't suppose I really ought to be sticking my hand up in that particular show to get my 5 cents worth in. I'd much rather just listen to Pamela Geller and what she's got to say. But nevertheless, it would be an honour to listen to her on that day, and I'll try and make it for your show on that day.
Tim, I appreciate that so very much. I really do.
Yeah, well, you know,
I will. I will definitely be. Well, I'll be Skyping you, and we'll be doing a RT up for the 16th. I very much look forward to having you on my show again. It's always an honor that you take so much time. You have a very, very busy schedule, but for you to take time to appear on my humble little show, believe me, it does not go unnoticed here.
the honor is all mine, Kel, I assure you. It really is. It's a pleasure to be on your show. Really enjoyed it last time, and I think, what did we have? Did we have an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours? I can't remember. It seemed to go by in a flash, however
I know.
It was.
It does indeed.
So, yes, I'm looking forward to it. A little before your show started this evening, I got involved on a train of thought after a Twitter conversation, and I've got an essay I wanted to run across you. Quite separate from what we've been talking about today.
Oh, well, let's do that then.
I won't say any more about today on this show, but I'll send you this essay, and then we can have a chat about it maybe before next
Absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, thanks,
right.
Tim.
Well, good talking to you, Kel. Speak to you again soon.
You too, Tim. Thanks. I'll talk to you soon. And thank you, Tim, for calling in. I have somebody else here with their hand raised. I am down to my last 10 minutes, so they get like 2 minutes here.
Hello?
And I think this might be Jeff.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, yes, this is Charlie. I just called into...
Oops. It looks like his call dropped. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry about that, Charlie. My apologies. Sometimes that happens, you know, what can you say? But I am down to the last wire here. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for joining me today. This was not an easy show for me to do. It was actually quite hard, and I played that clip that Kath so graciously sent to me, and I had myself on mute, and I was weeping. And I still have another screen open with some of the faces that we lost that day. Ladies and gentlemen, please don't forget. Do never forget what happened that day on September 11th, 2001. Do not let your children forget. I have friends. Their children are 13, 14 years old now. They were toddlers. And my girlfriends explained to me that when they have to explain 9/11 to them, it just brings everything back afresh. But you know what? That is what we need. That is exactly what we need. We need to be apprised of what the scourge is capable of. There are a few shows going on today regarding 9/11 and our commemorations. today at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. MP91 Freedom Quest of the Radio Jihad Network. Eliza Jane will have her show. And later on tonight, G-Ski will have his show. And that is 2020 Network. Ken McClintock of the Exceptional Conservative will have his show tonight as well. Please try to listen to all these programs. And thank you, though, for listening to mine. I just want you to know that I remember, I always will. There's a young lady out there who remembered. Her name is Colleen Gray. She saw what happened that day, and it took her breath away. Colleen Gray is an artist. She's a singer. She's a musician. She saw what was happening around her that day and found it breathtaking in that it was nearly impossible to absorb. That night on 9/11, she sat down and she penned a song. Colleen Gray is one of my favorite singers. I asked her, "Colleen, can I borrow some of your stuff for my shows?" She said, "Of course." I have a link for Colleen's page right in my show highlights. That is at ReverbNation.com. For those that listen in archive, it's there in my show notes. So I want you to visit Colleen Gray and listen to her music. Probably one of the most soulful singers I've ever heard. This song that Colleen penned that night of 9/11 changed me. This, coming from a heart of an American patriot. We're all patriots. We're all in this together. We are all one. And we all matter. And we have spirit. And we have love of life. And that is something that no entity can ever take away from us. We are all one true being. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you very much for joining me today. I want to thank you very much for remembering today. And I want to thank you very much from the bottom of my heart that you share the same spirit that I do. We are all in this together. We're all in this together. I love you all. You're my family, and you mean everything to me. Good night, everybody. Please enjoy Say a Prayer by Colleen Gray.